A Thousand-Mile Walk to the Gulf by John Muir. Introduction. John Muir, Earth, Planet, Universe. These words are written on the inside cover of the notebook from which the contents of this volume have been taken. They reflect the mood in which the late author and explorer undertook his thousand-mile walk to the Gulf of Mexico a half-century ago. No less does this refreshingly cosmopolitan address, which might have startled any finder of the book, reveal the temper and the comprehensiveness of Mr. Muir's mind. He never was, and never could be, a parochial student of nature. Even at the early age of 29, his eager interest in every aspect of the natural world had made him a citizen of the universe. While this was by far the longest botanical excursion which Mr. Muir made in his early years, it was by no means the only one. He had botanized around the Great Lakes, in Ontario, and through parts of Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois. On these expeditions, he had disciplined himself to endure hardship, for his notebooks disclose the fact that he often went hungry and slept in the woods, or on the open prairies, with no cover except the clothes he wore. Oftentimes, he writes in some unpublished biographical notes, I had to sleep out without blankets, and also without supper or breakfast. But usually, I had no great difficulty in finding a loaf of bread in the widely scattered clearings of the farmers. With one of these big backwoods loaves, I was able to wander many a long, wild mile, free as the winds in the glorious forests and bogs, gathering plants and feeding on God's abounding, inexhaustible spiritual beauty bread. Only once in my long Canada wanderings was the deep peace of the wilderness savagely broken. It happened in the maple woods about midnight, when I was cold and my fire was low. I was awakened by the awfully dismal howling of the wolves, and got up in haste to replenish the fire. It was not, therefore, a new species of adventure upon which Mr. Muir embarked when he started on his southern foot tour. It was only a new response to the lure of those favorite studies which he had already pursued over uncounted miles of virgin western forests and prairies. Indeed, had it not been for the accidental injury to his right eye in the month of March 1867, he probably would have started somewhat earlier than he did. In a letter written to an Indianapolis friend on the day after the accident, he refers mournfully to the interruption of a long-cherished plan. 4 weeks, he writes, I have daily consulted maps in locating a route through the southern states, the West Indies, South America, and Europe, a botanical journey studied for years. And so my mind has long been in a glow with visions of the glories of a tropical flora, but, alas, I am half blind. My right eye, trained to minute analysis, is lost, and I have scarce heart to open the other. Had this journey been accomplished, the stock of varied beauty acquired would have made me willing to shrink into any corner of the world, however obscure and however remote. The injury to his eye proved to be less serious than he had first supposed. In June he was writing to a friend, I have been reading and botanizing for some weeks, and find that for such work I am not very much disabled. I leave this city, Indianapolis, for home tomorrow, accompanied by Merrill Moores, a little friend of mine. We go to Decatur, Illinois, thence northward through the wide prairies, botanizing a few weeks by the way. I hope to go south towards the end of the summer, and as this will be a journey that I know very little about, I hope to profit by your counsel before setting out. In a written account after the excursion, he says, I was eager to see Illinois prairies on my way home, so we went to Decatur, near the center of the state, thence north, to Portage, by Rockford and Janesville. I botanized 1 week on the prairie, about 7 miles southwest of Pecatonica. To me all plants are more precious than before. My poor eye is not better, nor worse. A cloud is over it, but in gazing over the widest landscapes, I am not always sensible of its presence. By the end of August, Mr. Muir was back again in Indianapolis. He had found it convenient to spend a